A long time ago, in a faraway land, there lived a very clever, very caring man by the name of Noah. You may have heard of Noah's story about the ark and the animals, but there are parts that don't always get told, so it's important to tell the story again. Now, back in the days that Noah lived, most everyone knew him, but he wasn't famous. Just a very nice guy with whom everyone got along well, even though they didn't always get along with one another. But aside from that, Noah was really just a builder, and he had a dream of building a place where everyone could get along, where all kinds of people could get together and share their hopes and hurts, create places where people cared instead of competed, where they encouraged instead of argued. The time and place where Noah lived wasn't all that different from what we know now today. People fought with each other. They were stubborn. They sulked and they brooded, everyone always insisting that they were right and everyone else was wrong. And Noah had a problem with this. He kept imagining a better way. If only, he thought, I could help build a place where people listened to each other and learned from each other and respected each other despite differences in the color of their skin or how much money they had or where they lived or who they fell in love with. Noah wanted to build such a community, a special kind of community, much like we're building here. But he found out that when he went to go get the materials to build such a place, that the instructions for building such a place depended on what color skin you had, or they were different depending on how old you were or what gender you were, or whether you were rich or poor or gay or straight. Noah didn't want to do that. He wanted to build a community that would hold all people. Meanwhile, as all this was going on, God was looking down upon the world and noticing that same divisive thinking that Noah saw. And this troubled God. But just like the people who were divided on earth, God was also divided, and God was fighting amongst herself. Now, back in those days, God didn't get things done by a single decision. God was a committee. And as a committee, God was often arguing with herself. There was the God of love, who thought that everyone needed to listen to more and be more patient and giving and helpful. And then there was the God of morality and political correctness, who thought that everyone should behave by the same rules and codes of conduct. And then there was the God of vengeance and anger, who just wanted to punish the people of the land when they did something mean, and she would lash out and smite everyone she could get her hands on. Well, they all tried to tell Noah what to do, but with all the arguing and disagreeing and contradictions, Noah just became more confused than ever. Noah had a dilemma. And so Noah did what Noah always did. He went over to talk to his neighbor, who always seemed to have a good head on her shoulders and offered wise counsel. Noah found her outside her home, in the garden while her family ran around and played in the yard, and they talked for a while. And even though they couldn't solve the problem right away, Noah felt better knowing there was someone who would listen. So he went off with his dilemma and thought about what he might do to help everyone get along. There came a time in the land when, upon looking down at the people and what they were doing, God noticed that a Grateful Dead concert was coming up. And it was about the time of Noah that the band had first come together. And the God of love knew that they wouldn't be around forever, and so she just had to go check them out. So she got on her tie-dyed outfit and took the big party bus down to the show. Well, while she was away, the God of morality and the God of vengeance got into a discussion they decided that no one was really behaving like they ought to, and the world was going to hell in a handbasket, and they figured what they really ought to do is just wipe out the whole darn thing and start over. And they figured that a big flood ought to do the trick, so they decided they'd make it rain. 40 days and 40 nights should do the trick. So with plans in hand, they called Noah over to let him know what they had decided. And Noah was a little surprised and a little frustrated. And he shook his head in disbelief and thought to himself, you know, the worse people acted, the worse God seemed to act, and vice versa. And he listened to the plan they laid out and reminded them, well, you know, if you wiped out the entire world, there would be no one to take care of creation or to admire you. The gods scratched their heads and said they would think about it some more. And meanwhile, Noah had an idea. And he asked him if he might be given enough time to build an ark, just in case. Well, God agreed, and off Noah went. Well, now, with more of a dilemma than ever, Noah went to talk to his neighbor. And they lamented. And they shook their heads. They shook their heads. And they waved their arms. And then they got out some plans. And they drew a bunch of pictures. And they thought real hard and scratched their heads and pulled out their calculators and crunched numbers. And at the end of the day, after they had finally worked a plan out, they put their pencils away. And Noah hurried down to get a load of new materials and began building the most impressive, the biggest ark that anyone had ever seen, which wasn't hard to do because at that time no one had ever seen an ark before. And Noah's neighbor, not being much of a builder, grabbed the kids and took them all down to the Grateful Dead show just as it started to rain. It rained and it rained. And Noah built and he built. And after only a few days, with the help of his family, he finished the ark and he put it up on blocks higher than anything else around so that when the water rose up, it would carry the ark and all the inhabitants away to safety. And when Noah finally put the last nail in the ark and was ready to go, he noticed that the water had already begun to rise. So he went off to find the animals who would go with him. And to any who seemed even the least bit reluctant, he reminded them that if they chose not to go, they would have to learn how to swim real fast. Why don't we get ready for the water and stand and sing, Wade in the Water.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. You see that band all dressed in white? It looks like a band of Israelites. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water.
children wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. You see that band all dressed in puce? God's gonna trouble the water. They never really said, but they're all you use. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
The next thing before Noah was going to be hard, finding two of every living thing. And so Noah called for his wife and asked her to help. And together they looked high and low for the people and the animals who would go on the ark. They asked everyone who even had the slightest interest. They were especially eager to go about getting the most stubborn of animals, telling them that they would be the hardiest stock for a new community. They got the rhinos to go, the kind that sometimes aren't interested in listening to others, but instead just want to pound their own agenda forward. They got the giraffes on board, the ones who thought they were head and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. They got the monkeys to get on board, the ones who were rarely interested in doing any of the work because they were always playing around. They got the mice to come, the ones who were too timid to say anything except for when they squeaked in terror because the elephants weren't watching where they were going. They got the bees on board who just buzzed around, busy as ever, seeming like they weren't interested in anything around them, but they would spend endless hours repeating everything they had heard from the other animals. They got the butterflies on board who just seemed to flit about here and there without a care in the world. And they even got the owls on board who seemed like they knew the answer to everything, but when it came time to doing something, they always said, "Who? Me?" Noah and his wife went to the people and started to collect two of each. Two parents, two people who were single, two of each color, two of each gender, two of each age, two of each sexual orientation, two of each political persuasion, two of each class and religion. They collected two of every kind until the people were all on the ark. Noah even tried to get the unicorns on board, but they were having such a good time admiring their reflections in the mirror, they didn't see where they were going and fell off the ramp and missed the boat. That ought to do it, Noah thought. These are all just the right mix of animals to build a peaceful community. And when the last animal was on the ark, Noah went over to his neighbor and they spoke for a moment. They looked at some of the plans and they shook their heads in agreement. They looked at each other and they embraced. Much to the chagrin of Noah's wife. And Noah walked back and got on the ark. Watching all this from above, the God of morality could not help but notice something. As some of the animals got on board, they looked a little uncertain. And in that uncertainty, they seemed to recognize something familiar in each other's face. He saw a few of them in their uncertainty trying to hold the door open for the animals behind them. Maybe, he thought, maybe they weren't all that bad after all. For a second he wondered. He knew it was their plan to wipe out all the other animals, but they might have simply been acting mean because they were afraid, because they were scared. And he looked down upon the tiny ark, and a tear came to his eye. And as he started to cry, it began to rain a little harder. And in a moment of uncertainty, walked over to the God of love, and he leaned against her. The God of love didn't argue or scold him or fight back or anything. She just pulled him close and wrapped her arms around him. Don't we all know that feeling? Can't we all speak to that in our heart? Let's remain seated together and sing, "I've got love like an ocean."
I've got love like an ocean. 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 I've got love like an ocean in my soul. In my soul.
Just as they closed the hatch, it seemed like it really started to rain hard. And it seemed like the wind came upon them and the tiny ark was tossed. And the animals on board got very nervous. And because they were anxious, they started bickering and fighting. They saw how frustrating it was to be in such close quarters without any room to move, bumping into the animal next to them. And for a while, all they could do was argue and push and blame and scream at the top of their lungs. But then one of the animals suddenly said something that made everyone stop. It was the wise old owl. He started soft, but his voice grew with conviction as he stuck his neck out and spoke. "Who?" he said. "Who? Who is not here right now? Who have we forgotten? Who got left behind? Who is our neighbor?" And all the bickering stopped. Silence came over the ark. And all the animals started to think. They remembered that the people and the animals who were back in the community where they had started out didn't get on the ark, would be wiped out by the great flood, and they started to worry and feel sorry for them. They knew the reason that they chose to get on the ark was to find a better way and to help figure out how to get along and create peace. And then suddenly they realized that unless they found a way to do it right then, despite their differences and despite their needs, they would just build a new community with just as much conflict and turmoil as the one they were leaving behind. Each animal at that moment started to consider what was being asked of them and what they could do to help, how they could put away their old habits and begin to bring harmony. And even though they were still sad about everyone who didn't get on the ark, they realized how important it was that they, right then and there, learned how to get along. It was at that point that things began to change. But they were not the only ones to change. God, too, began to change. For the God of vengeance and smiting and retaliation realized that there must be a better way. That certainly if the animals could find a way to do it, then God could as well. So right then and there, the God of vengeance signed up for an anger management class. With a desire to make anger an option rather than a reflex. And like the example of the animals, God began to focus not on what the community owed her, but what she had to offer the community. It's an honor to be here with you, and I have brought one more thing to share with you. I have brought this water. This water comes from my nearly 16 years of ministry. It has been collected from 16 years of water communion services, including from my home church where I was dedicated almost 50 years ago. This water contains hopes and dreams. It has been poured on the heads of babies, and it has been poured on the stones of people who we memorialize after their years of service. Now I pour it into this community, into this bowl, which contains vestiges of water communions you have celebrated here before, because I have also this bottle, which Reverend Nancy left me, that is from your water communions, and it is your holy water. She was very thoughtful in putting it in a squeeze bottle. In a moment, I will ask you to come forward and to bring water that you may have brought with you. If you didn't bring water with you, there is water here that you may use. We ask that when you pour your water in, somebody here will be here with a microphone to allow you to say one word about what it is that is within you that you pour into this community. The water that I pour in symbolizes my contribution of connections. What is it for you? Is it hope? Maybe it's organization. Maybe it's religious education. Maybe you're good at finance. What is it that you will bring to this community that will make it a better place? And by contributing something, let love flow through your life and you become a better person. For all of these gifts of music, of time, of talent, of energy, which go towards love and justice, may they help us to seek and to serve. The rains finally came to an end, and the boat stopped rocking, and thinking there was finally a sense of peace returning to the earth, the animals sent out a bird who flapped her wings and went far afield. And when she came back, she called to all the other animals on the ark and said, "Hey, you guys, you got to check this out." So Noah slowly looked around at the animals, and they opened the hatch and began to crawl through and look around. And there they saw what they had never expected, something that took them all by surprise. Everything was just the way it was when they left. Noah's neighbor and her children were standing there. She was watering the garden. The people of the community in the background were still bickering. The house was still a mess. The dishes were still undone. They all stood there for a moment before beginning to walk off the ark. And after welcoming the animals home and helping them, Noah and the neighbor explained to everyone that they never actually went anywhere. It didn't really rain for 40 days. The waters never rose. The ark never left the blocks that it had been resting on. For the last 5 weeks, Noah's neighbor and her children took turns rocking the ark back and forth and spraying water from the hose over the top so that they would think that they were being carried away in a great flood. It had actually been sunny most of the time. It was their plan all along to put the animals in a small place, telling them that their lives depended on them figuring out how to get along and hoping they would learn. And it worked. In that time, they learned how to listen, how to cooperate, how to work together, how to sacrifice and become less selfish. And they learned all they had to do to offer a community of love was to show up with the love in their hearts. And for a minute, they thought about everything that had happened and whether or not they should be angry. After all, Noah and his neighbor played a pretty big trick on them. Everything they had endured was all in vain. And then they realized that Noah's neighbor actually saw God at the Grateful Dead concert and told her about the plan to make it rain. And the God of love made sure that it never really happened. But it didn't take long to realize that it wasn't in vain. the world was still in danger of being wiped out, not by a flood of water, but by a flood of impatience and arrogance and selfishness. And they realized that even without the flood, whether or not the world would perish still depended on them, on whether they would be able to teach the others in the community around them what they had learned with their time on the ark. And that is what they began to do. They knew it would take a long time, but they knew that it was worth it. So from that day on, that is how they lived their lives, going out in their way to practice peace and kindness and consideration. And as they did, they found themselves singing a familiar song. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. We extinguish this chalice, but take its light into our lives to be the presence of love in the midst of fear, the voice of hope in the face of despair, and the hands of justice, restoring a world worthy of our children. Reach out and grab the hands of somebody who is close to you. And know that our future depends on our ability not to get rid of the worst around us, but to bring out the best within us. May that be our prayer. May that be our promise. Amen.